Game on.
Racing.
Envoy Allen, the leader at the last. From Hitman in second place, French Dynamite's third, Shishkin in fourth. He can't do any more as they head up the hill to the line. Envoy Allen is three lengths clear now. That winner is Envoy Allen for Henry de Bromhead and Rachel Blackmore.
He jumped really well today and he was just a much happier horse today to ride than he was the last day. So, yeah, look, it's phenomenal. Jeez, it's just, this is such a magic place and I feel so lucky to be able to walk back into the winner's enclosure here.
So, Ruby Walsh, so many stories today, but as we just heard there, a very happy Rachel Blackmore and a very happy Henry de Bromhead with a 13-2 winner for Envoy Allen when everyone was assuming that Shishkin was just going to win this one.
They were, but I think what would always get overlooked in the emotion of things right now, Shane, is the training performance of Henry de Bromhead with Envoy Allen. It's remarkable. It's obviously a horse that he inherited from Gordon Elliott and fell here then as a novice over fences. He won at Down Royal this year. He pulled up on his last start in the King George at, like, he was beaten at halfway, and to turn it around in the 4 months since Christmas, or 3.5 months since Christmas, and then go and win the way he won. I mean, the training performance, the skill to have his horses in the form that he has them in this week, Henry de Bromhead, it is remarkable. And look, we spoke about Honeysuckle on Tuesday. Yesterday you had Masakada. Today it's Envoy Allen. And it's even the horse, it's even his other horses, Captain Guinness running so well in the Champion Chase, Ebson de Hoo running so well in the Grand Annual. Henry de Bromhead's horses are absolutely on fire. Magical Zoe was second in the Jack de Bromhead Mare's Novice Hurdle. Henry de Bromhead's horses are on fire. I think it's bringing a little bit of warmth to everybody's heart in Cheltenham, but it still has to be recognised. And to me, that is the story of the week, just how well his horses are. And it's not the first time that he's peaked them at March at Cheltenham. It happened 2 years ago during lockdown. He had an incredible Cheltenham. He had winners here last year. He's made a habit of doing it, and it is... it's great to watch.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Bumper winner, Ballymore winner, now Ryanair winner. Third win of the festival for the County Waterford Yard. So yeah, no, absolutely brilliant. There was another big story, Ruby, in the Grade 1. And a bit of a shock, it's fair to say. In the Stayers Hurdle, I should say. Yeah.
Yeah, an absolute shock in the Paddy Power Stayers Hurdle. Sire de Burleigh, I think he could have returned in or around 33-1, something like that. Huge price, great win for Gordon Elliott. Obviously, Dashiell Drasher finished second, but Tuhupu, who was the 9-4 favourite, was promoted to second place. But I think the story here, Gordon, his record in Cheltenham is exemplary, but the story is Mark Walsh. Got a fall at Leopardstown, the Dublin Racing Festival, broke two vertebrae high up in his back, one in his backs, which was T vertebrae, and then a couple of C vertebrae, and just about got back in time for Cheltenham. But Sire de Burleigh is not an easy ride. He takes a lot of pushing, a lot of shoving. There's plenty of hard work involved, and to see Mark Walsh as fit and as strong this afternoon, to me, I admired him. I must say that. I probably always admired him as a rider, but today I looked at him. I know how hard it is to get back from injury and have everybody looking at you, and as soon as a horse gets beat, the first thing they're saying is they're pointing the finger. He's not right. He's not fit. Are you sure he's okay? I've had those emotions. So to watch Mark Walsh ride Sire de Burleigh today, I was delighted for him, because everybody has to come back from injury, but to come back and deliver, it must have been huge satisfaction for him. And in such a big race as well, the Paddy Power Stayers Hurdle, I was delighted for Mark Walsh, because I admire the graft that my former colleagues put in.
I know I'm talking to a man who's broken a few bones. When you're spelling out a T vertebrae and a C vertebrae and everything else, I mean, it's such a short period.
Yeah, and I'm yeah, I'm not a doctor, but like you've C1 to whatever, which is your neck, and then T is your thoracic, which is below your neck, your upper back, and then you have L, which is your lumbar spine. So you've loads of vertebrae in there, but he did break a couple of T's and a C, and you know, when it gets into C, Shane, it's getting serious. They're all obviously serious, and if a vertebrae breaks the wrong way or moves the wrong way, what it can do to your spinal cord, of course they're all serious. But you know, jockeys do tend to break them. It's the pressure of falls and compression fractures, and he broke a wing on one of his vertebrae, or actually on three of them. But to watch him come back and do it this afternoon, yeah, you have to I admire people. I'm not trying to sing praise to myself here, but I admire the graft he put into getting himself back. And you're obviously pushing your body physically. You're pushing your body as far as you can push it. And I just think it's wonderful to watch.
Mm. No, absolutely is. Every day is a school day with Ruby. I love learning these intricacies about injuries and everything else. And I mean that sincerely. We do have to keep motoring, though. There was another grade one. The Turner's Novices Chase Stage Star jumped his rivals into submission to end Paul Nicholls' three-year drought at the festival. Odds-on favourite Mighty Potter travelled well for the majority, as did Willie Mullins Appreciated, but both failed to pick up sufficiently at the business end.
Yeah, look, I'm delighted for my former boss, Paul Nicholls. I mean, he's the champion trainer in the UK. He's obviously under a lot of scrutiny and a lot of eyes coming here this week, and he's expected to deliver. He doesn't quite have the quality of horse that's required. He's a brilliant racehorse trainer, and I think Stage Star is the one horse in the race that got the best ride. Harry Cobden was very good on him. I think Davy Russell and maybe Paul Townend as well. Actually, Paul Townend said it on television, but I think the two of them would like another go at this race. They were watching each other, but nobody was watching Harry Cobden, and he gave Stage Star a brilliant ride, and he delivered. He jumped for fun, but you could see the release of emotion in Paul Nicholls. It was wonderful to watch. He's been one of those trainers in the UK that has been sort of advocating all year that the whole season is not about Cheltenham, but yet when you watched him standing in the parade ring today, the release of pressure, the release of emotion, you knew he had not really been, he'd been talking through his hat all winter. It is all about Cheltenham, and now he has a winner here.
Absolutely, and it's great for Harry Cobden ending that long 4-year stay on the festival cold list. The final handicap hurdle, 2-10. Good Time Johnny, 9-1. Came from first to last. It was some run, and all the owners flying over from USA for it.
Yeah, and they're great people. I rode plenty of winners for them. I won a Kerry National and Northern Alliance for the lads, and they have pubs in Queens. They're staunch supporters of Tony Martin's, and it was great for Tony as well. He's had a lean couple of years, and it's been hard on him, but I thought Lee McKenna gave Good Time Johnny a brilliant ride. He obviously won the Galway Hurdle earlier in the year on Tudor City. Doesn't get many chances, Shane, but like, he delivered it today. I mean, if it was Davy Russell, or it was Barry Geraghty, or it was AP McCoy, you'd be like, the plaudits would be flowing. And to me, they should also flow for younger people. And Lee McKenna gave this horse a brilliant ride. He beat Salvador Ziggy of Gordon Elliott's, who was second, ridden by Aidan Kelly, who's another really promising young Irish jockey. And they came and mugged Mill Green of Nicky Henderson's, who Daryl Jacob rode. He was probably in front too soon, but the two young Irish lads both came from behind them, both timed their challenge. And I was delighted for Lee McKenna, because he's a grafter.
I do want to mention the 10 past 4 race, because Sedon at 21 took the prize in the Magners Plate Handicap Chase, and that made it another Irish winner, but it also made it 7 different Irish trainers in the winners' enclosures this week, which is music to our Irish listeners' ears, Ruby.
It is, and another young man rode him, Ben Harvey, claiming £5. He decided to turn professional shortly after Christmas, and funnily enough, a couple of weeks later then a horse called Malor Mission went and won at Navan, and all of a sudden Ben was thinking, oh, should I have turned professional? If I had stayed amateur, he could have ridden Malor Mission in the National Hunt Chase on Tuesday. Malor Mission looked like winning and fell at the second last, but lo and behold, by Thursday afternoon, Ben Harvey is a professional, rides Sedan for John McConnell, same trainer, and he goes and wins. John is a vet, a qualified vet, who's a trainer and making a real fist of it, so he is. And it was a great result to watch. Sedan was bought out of the UK off a big English owner, and has been just turned around, revitalised. And John McConnell's interview afterwards was wonderful to listen to.
The final two races of the day, Ruby. I know we're just motoring through this at a fair pace, but the Jack de Bromhead mare.
But so much happened, Shane. What else can you do with motoring through at a pace?
This is true. You Wear It Well won the 450 at 16-1, and the final race of the day, half five, was won by Angels Dawn 10-1. What happened in these two?
You Wear It Well made all under Gavin Sheehan, who's an Irish jockey trained by Jamie Snowden, and made all to beat Henry de Bromhead's Magical Zoe in the Jack de Bromhead Mare's Novice Hurdle. That would have been a poignant success, but it wasn't to be. Halka the Third Bart was third for Davy Russell and Gordon Elliott. And in the final race, which is the Kim Muir, it's an amateur riders race, Angels Dawn won, trained by Sam Curling, who was a former housemate of mine. He used to live with me many years ago when we were both working for Willie Mullins. I actually went to bed one night, Shane. I forgot to lock the front door. I was in Galway and my PlayStation got robbed. I never really forgave Shane for that. I never really forgave Sam Curling for that, but I'm delighted to see him ride his first winner, or train his first winner here at Cheltenham with Angels Dawn, who just about beat Stumptown of Gavin Cromwell's, and Mr. Incredible was third for Willie Mullins. Dunboyne was fourth for Gordon Elliott. It was a complete Irish whitewash in the last, but Sam Curling has trained the winner, and maybe he'll buy me a new PlayStation.
Possibly so. PlayStation 5 now, I'd say.
One I had probably took 25 minutes to download or upload or whatever the hell it was at the time. But
My one quirky fact for today, I was devastated that the 20-1 shot didn't win in the last race, a night in Lamborn, purely because I was going to reveal my horse racing knowledge, Ruby, of a 6'4" jockey, Jack Andrews, and his older sister was also riding in the same race. But sure,
yeah, Jack, his older sister Gina rides. His older sister Bridget is also a professional, Shane, and she's actually married to Harry Skelton. They're a wonderful family. I actually had lunch with his mum and dad in Huntington a few weeks ago. They're really nice people, so into it. They're pony club people. They've come up through the grassroots of racing, and Jack is a really good rider. It's just a pity for him that he's 6'4", which makes life hard for a jockey.
Well, I sympathise with Jack and the negatives of being over 6 foot. But however, Ruby, before we move on to tomorrow, because I know we were chatting yesterday about today being possibly the Davy Russell day. It wasn't to be. I know he had a second place after the Stewart's inquiry as well, but he'll be disappointed overall.
Yeah, I think he will. I think he will. And what he'd be disappointed with, other than Mighty Potter, there's none of them he'd like another go on. But look, to be fair to Davy Russell, he took a big punt by coming out of retirement. And to be fair to him, he spoke to the people that he loves and he admires about coming back, and they all rode with him and decided he should. And that's what he did. He came back and he rode. And to be honest with you, I was always a fierce rival of Davy Russell's, but I have the utmost respect for the man, and I was kind of hoping he'd ride a winner today for him. I was hoping he'd get that, I don't know, that success that his talents deserve.
Yeah, no, it was certainly unfortunate. Ruby, I have three more questions for you. They all are to do with tomorrow. We're going to finish up with the Gold Cup, but first let us start with the half one, grade one triumph hurdle. All of the short odds come from Willie Mullins, so who is the pick of the bunch?
I think the way the weather has gone, Shane, I'm going to side with Blood Destiny, but as I'm sure our listeners are well aware of now, listening to me giving tips is a road to disaster.
Well, you have like law of averages, Ruby, you know, you have to come good. There's a lot of the favourites were beat today.
I know, but like the financial the financial reward for following my tips is pretty slim.
Keep the faith, listeners. Right, the Albert Bartlett at 250. In general, then, what should we be keeping an eye for if we don't want to get into specifics?
I'm a massive fan of one horse in this race, and it's Corbett's Cross. He's dangerous, a horse called Three Car Brag. I think he could possibly be being better off in the Martin Pipe later on the card, but I think Corbett's Cross could be a future star, and I'm with him for Emmett Mullins and JP McManus.
Okay, and finally then, a nice easy question for you to round off our chat today, Ruby. The Gold Cup, how's it going to go?
I think it's a brilliant race. And look, here am I beating the drum about horse racing, and it is my home sport. It's the one I love the most. But I think we have a brilliant Gold Cup, Shane. You've Gallop and the Champ, Brave Man's Game and a Blue Tar. They're the classy horses. You have a High Senor, Noble Yates. They're the stairs. They'll be coming. And a High Senor, Noble Yates are the stairs. You've class, stamina. It's a great mix and match, but I'm a sucker for class, and I'm going to side with Gallop and the Champ to make it a good week for Willie Mullins.
Okay, hopefully, says you. Ruby, listen, you'll be chatting to Marie tomorrow. I'll be down watching some League of Ireland action, unfortunately.
Where are Shells playing tomorrow, Shane?
We're in Cork, so we're down early.
Are you going?
I am. Of a rare
Will you get off a nosebleed now when you pass Port Leash?
Listen, my mother's from Kilkenny. I've been down the country plenty of times. Don't you worry, Ruby.
You surely? You'll be all right, yeah?
I'll be okay. I'll text you if I'm not. But we'll get down That's early. Right. We'll get the racing in and a bit League of Ireland football. Listen, Ruby, really appreciate you taking the time to chat. As Cheers, always, you're a gentleman. As I mentioned there, Ruby will be back chatting to Marie tomorrow, and we will know who won that coveted Gold Cup.
Game on.
Racing.